This is Jay Sekulow. The confirmation battles begin.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
The Senate set to kick off a flurry of confirmation hearings for the president-elect's cabinet in waiting. However, many Democrats suggesting this road will not be smooth.
Senator Sessions has been clear about what he wants to bring to the Department of Justice and the vision that he has. It's really about bringing back the rule of law and mending relationships with law enforcement. And frankly, Jeff Sessions has had 40 years in the public eye as a prosecutor, as a U.S. attorney, as the attorney general in Alabama, and 20 years as a U.S. senator, all of which has been about upholding the rule of law.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
Democrats are complaining when it comes to Trump's richest cabinet picks. People like Tillerson, Wilbur Ross, Andrew Punster, Betsy DeVos, they don't yet have all of the information on their backgrounds in yet, all of the issues dealing with ethics and potential conflicts of interest. And so Democrats are suggesting they want to slow the process down until that investigation is complete.
And now, Chief Counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, Jay Sekulow.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. We're going to get into the situation involving the confirmation of a friend of ours, Jeff Sessions, to be the next Attorney General of the United States. We're also going to talk about this attack that took place in Jerusalem, which appears to be ISIS-inspired. And we're going to talk about what we think is an FBI failure in the situation in Florida. Again, this was a terror attack. These all came out Friday after we were already off the air. But there's a symmetry here. And part of this is you need an Attorney General that's going to operate like a general. And that's we have absolute confidence in Jeff Sessions. Let me say something here at the beginning of this broadcast, though. As most of you know, I was out of the studio last week for the entire week. My father was ill and underwent surgery. He is with the Lord. He fought very brave. He was a brave man to have the surgery. And I know a lot of you were praying for him, and I want to first start the broadcast off by thanking you for your thoughts and your prayers for our family. I want to thank you very much from the bottom of our heart. But and all of us were, over the last 2 weeks, everybody had been with him, and a lot of us were down there at the time. So, again, thank you for your prayers for my family. Let's get into the situation. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Jeff Sessions' confirmation as Attorney General of the United States. Jordan, he will be confirmed.
Yeah, I mean, I think the question is how nasty will these hearings be? A lot of people are comparing this to the potential of what it was like when John Ashcroft went through that confirmation process, which was supposed to be a couple-day hearing, became 4 days, and then ended up being weeks to actually get the vote. Now, the final vote there was pretty easy. I mean, he got eight Democrats to come on board, and he was able to kind of sail through confirmation. So it's not really ultimately about the votes as much as it is the battle and the nasty things that will be said. And I will tell you, I think this is a different time than the 2000. So the nastiness level, we already know some of the attacks that are coming from the left on Jeff Sessions. But I think to all of our listeners, the Department of Justice is so important to the work that we do, what we're concerned about. Remember, folks, this is the difference between filing lawsuits against the government constantly to having the government join in the lawsuits that you're filing as well. So I think and we all know the Department of Justice, which oversees the FBI, needs a complete overhaul, needs someone who has experience. Jeff Sessions has been there. And I think is ready to get this done. But it's going to be probably one of the focused hearings. It starts tomorrow because of some of the political nastiness that has already begun.
Stan, tell us about a little bit about the preparation. We got a minute here before the break, but tell us what's going on in our offices in Washington. By the way, I'm holding a memo that is, as you can see, voluminous. Those of you watching on Facebook, Periscope, or on our website, but for those of you that aren't, it's 100 pages. What's going on in the office right now? Or what's getting ready to happen?
I was going
to
hold up the same memo, Jay, and literally that is backed up by hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of pages of primary sources that filled that memo. Here's the bottom line. The Democrats on the committee, Jay, are going to claim that Jeff Sessions is a racist, despite the fact that not a single Democrat on that panel believes it's true because they don't have a shred of evidence to suggest it.
Yep.
I do believe he's going to be confirmed, but listen, our members got to pay attention. This is going to be a full 2 days ahead.
Absolutely, and we are fully engaged in it. All right, Logan, let everybody know they can talk to us. We'll take your calls on Jeff Sessions. Take your calls about the terror attack in Jerusalem that was after the UN resolution and the attack in Florida.
That's right. You can join us right now. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110, or join us on Facebook and Periscope, facebook.com/JaySekulow.
All right. Also, folks, again, I need to say this because I have been out all week. Thank you for your support for the ACLJ in December. We exceeded our goal by a significant portion. We could not have done it without you. Appreciate your support of the ACLJ. Back with more in just a moment.
Mm-hmm. This week marks a critical time for the incoming Trump administration. Hearings begin for a number of vital cabinet positions. And at the top of the list, U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions, nominated to be the Attorney General of the United States. Senator Sessions is eminently and uniquely qualified for this post and will restore the rule of law and uphold the Constitution at the Department of Justice, something that is desperately needed. But here's the problem. Democrats are promising to pull out all the stops to oppose and derail this nomination. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're ready for the fight. We will support Senator Sessions and work aggressively to ensure his confirmation succeeds. Join us now in this battle. Senator Sessions must be confirmed as our next Attorney General. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
One of the first members of the cabinet for Jeff, for President-elect Trump, was named our friend Jeff Sessions. Senator Sessions is someone I've had the privilege of working with as when he was the Attorney General of Alabama. Of course, as a United States Senator, is on the Judiciary Committee, a number of other committees. I've testified in front of him before. He was born in 1946. He's an Eagle Scout. He graduated from Huntington College in Montgomery. He was also president of the Young Republicans. He received his law degree from the University of Alabama in 1973. They're trying to say that Jeff Sessions is a racist. Let me tell you something we uncovered. Donald Watkins was a classmate of Jeff Sessions in 1973 in Alabama. Watkins has stated to the media that he still warmly recalls how Sessions was one of the few white students who welcomed him with a handshake and a smile. "He was literally the second white person to speak to me," said Watkins, who went on to become a civil rights lawyer. "He acknowledged my humanity. When somebody is nice to you, when you can walk down the hall and other people are referring to you with racial slurs and somebody was treating you with decency, that was huge in 1970. So understand this attack on him. His chief counsel met during, I think, 10 of his years at the United States Senate was William Smith, also an African-American. So this is nonsense. Also, Senator Sessions was in the United States Army. He served in the Army Reserves, was a transportation officer. He was in private practice for a time and then was immediately became work for President Reagan as an assistant United States attorney. This is what you need to hear. He's also a lawyer that, as a U.S. attorney, busted the Ku Klux Klan. So this is a serious, serious lawyer. And we need a serious lawyer in the Justice Department. It's a mess. So when we talk about the FBI situation in the next segment of the broadcast, I'm going to tie in the situation of why you need an attorney general that can actually act as a general. And with Jeff Sessions, we've got exactly that.
Yeah, that's right. I think of all the Trump nominees, this is the most exciting for all of us at the American Center for Law and Justice because of, obviously, the importance of the Department of Justice as the legal arm of the federal government. It oversees also many law enforcement arms like the FBI. So that is important. We also know that how politicized the Department of Justice has become, not just under Loretta Lynch, but remember, in most part under Eric Holder, you've got basically a Department of Justice which is out of control and not really focused where it should be, at least based off its mandate for what its job is to do at the federal government. It's gotten obsessed with this civil rights issue, and I think that's, again, we know that part of this confirmation battle is that the left is upset that the Department of Justice will no longer be and liberal activist arm of the federal government.
Yep.
It has been for the last 8 years, and they got used to this, a implementation, a way for the executive to execute their policy positions, not just law enforcement positions, but policy, you know, the investigations of police forces, focusing on that instead of criminal activity, focusing on that instead of terror. And so I think that we will see that is why the left is so upset.
Yep.
On top of that, I just, so people know, where will these attacks focus? It's going to be a racial attack. I mean, I am telling you, there's a whole panel that will be on this issue of, quote, civil rights. And this is someone who took down the KKK in Alabama.
Yeah.
So I
was friends with black classmates at the University of Alabama Law School in 1970.
What they don't like is he's a conservative.
Yeah.
And so they're doing anything possible. He happens to be from a deeply red state, a southern state. And because of that, they think that they can somehow tie him to what was happening in Alabama at the time in the 60s and 70s, because he came up obviously through that. And I think the best example is someone in law school, given that story about, yep, that he was one of the few. I mean, that, again, was a political statement.
Absolutely.
That he made, a public statement that he made in 1970 to shake the hand of one of the few African-American
students
law
at the
students,
University of Alabama.
And to do that in front of everybody, that was, again,
big.
These days we don't think of that as a big deal.
It was
then. That was.
All right, Logan, let's go ahead and take a call. I'm going to get a question for Thane.
Let's do Dwayne in Illinois. You're
hey, Dwayne, go ahead. You're on the air.
Yeah, my question was with regard to Jeff Sessions. I had heard some criticism about him regarding civil asset forfeiture, and I was kind of concerned about that. I wondered if you had any comments that could put that to rest.
Well, look, I mean, I will tell you from Jeff's experience on civil asset forfeiture, he was a United States attorney, so there was a manual you followed when you were a U.S. attorney. I did the same thing when I was a chief counsel's office for the IRS on civil. In fact, I did some of the what's called jeopardy assessment, which were the civil forfeiture cases, and we went by the manual. That was what the law is. I don't think there's any legal issue where Jeff Sessions is not going to be within the correct thought on civil procedure, on due process rights, and things like that. Dan, what are you hearing on that or other issues related to actual policy?
Well, I actually love this call, Jay, because I think it speaks exactly to why Jeff Sessions is uniquely qualified for this position, because he has seen the Department of Justice not only on every level, but from every angle. I mean, I think when Jordan talks about the fact that racism is going to be one of the main focuses, the reason it's going to be one of the main focuses is because they can't touch Jeff Sessions on his qualifications or his track record, Jay. I mean, from a U.S. attorney to a prosecutor to private practice to the Alabama Attorney General, there has been no one situated as well as he is to clean up the mess at the Department of Justice.
Right.
So whether it's civil asset forfeiture or any other issue, nobody tops Jeff Sessions.
Here's what you've got. I mean, let me ask you this, folks. Ask you this question. Get your comments on this. You've had Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch, and now we're going to go to Jeff Sessions. I view that as a positive. Someone that's going to enforce the law, that's going to do it in a way that's appropriate under the Constitution, that will be the attorney general that we need to clean up the mess of the what. I mean, look what happened with the FBI, which reports, by the way, to the Department of Justice during the whole election situation. This is an out-of-control agency. It happens to be a big one, the United States Department of Justice. So your comments on this, 1-800-684-3110, 800-684-3110. Also, a big part of the Justice Department's job is the fight on terrorism. And we have had a situation in Florida. We'll go to that one first because I think it's worth pointing this out. Here's my concern with the Florida situation. People, the media was saying, oh, this guy was crazy. Meanwhile, can we put this picture up on Facebook and Periscope? This guy basically was ISIS-inspired, if not ISIS-led. We've got a picture up right now. That's not it, by the way, so let's not go to that. Let's get the right picture up, and when we have it, let me know. And then what we'll do, but this guy was clearly, he told the FBI that he was listening to ISIS videos.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, so this is another situation where I think this is why you need reform at the Department of Justice and clear mandates. I think it goes to that issue even we're seeing at Department of Homeland Security, where you can't use these terms to identify, so you don't use Islamic terrorism, you don't talk about jihad. And here's an individual who is on the radar screen once again, but not just as someone violent, not just as someone who is maybe rebel-rousing and causing domestic troubles and petty crimes, but someone who goes to the FBI with a military background, obviously suffering from PTSD, served tours in Iraq, and goes directly to them and says, the government's trying to take over my mind. I mean, these are key things that should
right.
trigger, and that, you know, they're forcing me to join ISIS. So, I mean, very specific, not just the government's. So he, not only that, he went through obviously a transformation into a jihadist. Whether or not he was half fighting that in his mind, we don't know, and I don't think we'll ever quite know. I'm always a bit skeptical of this administration trying to lead us down the wrong way, trying to put too much on the mental side and not the fact
that... Because anybody that would do this has got, obviously...
Well, that's what we get to. Everybody that ISIS would use, whether it was... I mean, he thought the government was doing it, but if you were... when they target people online with these videos, they are targeting people who are troubled. And they know that through the imagery that they're using. The people that will seek that out, seek out watching someone be beheaded, is someone who is troubled. And so they know that, and they will utilize them. So
yeah, here's an interest.
This person may have thought the government was doing it. Could have been an ISIS recruiter doing it. And what
so the
we
five
have
people
seen,
that were killed makes no difference.
It doesn't make a difference. And what I was so upset about all that whole day was that when his name came out, immediately the whole media said, okay, this it's not Islamic terror anymore. And the first thing I remembered was, and maybe people don't remember this name, but Jose Padilla, who, again, has a Hispanic name but carried out in the name of Al-Qaeda, was trying to do the bombings, the attacks on the planes. And so this, these again, the media has a short-term memory on dealing with Islamic terror. But
this
it's
administration
not just,
won't.
It's not just someone's names. Things are going to change.
Yeah.
And obviously we need it. I mean, we're at a very volatile time in our country.
Here's another aspect of this. I want to quickly draw this analysis as we come to a break here, and that is this. Look at the situation. This guy was on the radar screen. He went into the FBI. So Esteban was on the radar screen. Omar Martin was interviewed by the FBI twice. The Sarnet brothers were interviewed by the FBI twice. No charges, no follow-up, nothing. This guy's gun, or at least a gun, we're not sure it's the exact same weapon, but a weapon was actually taken by the police and not returned to him until a month ago when they decided he was not mentally unstable. So a month ago they decided he was not mentally unstable, and then he, after his pledge of allegiance to ISIS and what he did, there's what you got. So enough of the political correctness. The media doesn't want to call it what it is. This administration clearly will, and that's the reason why Jeff Sessions' confirmation is so vitally important. All right, we're taking a break. When we come back, we'll take your calls. Logan will get comments coming in as well at 1-800-684-3110. Get your comments in as well.
That's right. Comments are coming in on Facebook and Periscope as we speak, and I'm reading through many of them. We're going to get to a lot of those on the air coming up shortly. That's at facebook.com/jsekulo. You can watch the show as well as interact and talk to us during the breaks, as well as live on Periscope and on ACLJ.org. And archived later on ACLJ.org and the ACLJ app.
All right, we've also got a petition up at ACLJ.org. Confirm Senator Sessions as Attorney General. 88,000 signatures already. Go ahead and sign it today. ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll be back with your calls and comments at 1-800-684-3110.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This week marks a critical time for the incoming Trump administration. Hearings begin for a number of vital cabinet positions. And at the top of the list, U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions, nominated to be the Attorney General of the United States. Senator Sessions is eminently and uniquely qualified for this post and will restore the rule of law and uphold the Constitution at the Department of Justice, something that is desperately needed. But here's the problem. Democrats are promising to pull out all the stops to oppose and derail this nomination. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're ready for the fight. We will support Senator Sessions and work aggressively to ensure his confirmation succeeds. Join us now in this battle. Senator Sessions must be confirmed as our next Attorney General. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online aclj.org.
Hey, welcome back to the broadcast, everyone. We're taking your calls at 1-800-684-3110. I'm going to have Dan Bennett quickly set up what is going to happen over the next 3 days. So everybody understands. Dan's our director of government affairs. Our offices are right across the street. A lot of the setup for what's going to go on in these hearings is actually taking place in our offices. I've showed our audience that are watching on TV or on Facebook or Periscope. And for our radio on. So we've got about a 200-page memo, a kind of full briefing back that we've done on Senator Sessions. As I said, I could also testify from personal experience. He's a man of utmost integrity and will be an excellent Attorney General of the United States. Having said that, Fan, walk everybody through what's going to happen. Then we're going to, Logan, we'll grab some phone calls.
Jay, full days of hearings at the Senate Judiciary Committee. Tomorrow will essentially be Senator Jeff Sessions testifying and taking questions from the members of the panel all day. It'll be an all-day session. The following day, Wednesday, will be two different panels. First will be citizens, including the former Attorney General Michael Mukasey, and then also the legal director of the ACLU, David Cole. You can imagine where he's going to be coming from on this issue. The second panel, Jay, and this is where people need to pay a little bit of attention, they're calling it a civil rights panel. It will be Congressman John Lewis and other members of the Congressional Black Caucus. There will be essentially one topic in that third panel, Jay, and it will be race issues. So it'll be an uncomfortable spot, but for no reason. There's no evidence there. Those two panels will take place on Wednesday. So two full days of hearings for people to follow here.
Yeah, I am confident that I know Jeff Sessions is not a racist. I think it's absurd. And as I said, we've put together the evidence on it. Let's go ahead and take some.
This goes back to the issue that if you think that there were constitutional issues with the Voting Rights Act, which, by the way, the Supreme Court confirmed there were.
Right.
That if you would ever mention that, that somehow that made the policy meant that you were personally against this against a certain group of people. I think it goes to two things. It goes to the fact that he's a Southerner and a from a deeply red state and a conservative, and they just don't like the fact, and the left does not like the fact that Department of Justice is no longer going to be their implementation of policy department, which is what it was under Eric Holder,
right.
And it became so politicized from the top down, and he's going to refocus. And I think what most of these people will find out is that it will not be that same politicized Department of Justice that they got used to. It will be a Department of Justice that you will hear about when you should be hearing about it, but it's not. Remember, Eric Holder was in the news like every single day talking about, you know, they really let him take the charge in the Obama administration. I think you will hear from Jeff Sessions when he becomes Attorney General when it's important to do so, but he's not going to be out there trying to implement specific policies. He's going to be dealing with a mess at the Department of Justice FBI. And I think for all these nominees, for everybody listening right now, you've got to give them time. Do not expect them to come into a giant federal agency and be able to reform it in one day.
Especially with all the bureaucrats that are so entrenched.
I think it will be at least 2 years before.
But he will do it.
You start. And these are the people that are committed. This is kind of their life's purpose, I think, at this point.
Yeah.
For someone like Jeff Sessions, he's leaving the United States Senate and to take on what is a major task, the reform of a federal government agency, the legal enforcement arm of the federal government, including the FBI.
All right, let's go ahead, Logan, and take some phone calls here.
All right, let's go to Robert in Indiana on line 4.
Hey, Robert, go ahead. You're on the air.
We need Jeff Sessions as an attorney general because we need an attorney general that will uphold the laws of our land, not a political buyout. That's short and simple. Thank you.
All right. Well, there you go. I mean, I will tell you something. This is somebody that's fought political correctness, but he's also someone that has had the experience to be our next attorney general, to serve as the attorney general of a state and then to serve for 20 years in the United States Senate or 15 years in the United States Senate. That's pretty impressive. And that's a good combination of events. And he was also a U.S. attorney. So this was someone that was a U.S. attorney, a state attorney general, and a United States senator. You're not going to get much more qualified than that. All right, back to the phone. We're going to try to get some calls here, and then we'll take more during the next broadcast as well.
Yep, Whitney in Texas, you're on the air.
Hey, Whitney.
Hi there.
Hey.
I just wanted to say that when Jeff Sessions was a freshman senator, I was roommates with one of his staff members. And if you want to know the true character of a person, you talk to their staff. You get to know their staff. And without an exception, he was admired, respected, really looked up to and still is by every member of that staff. He's had amazing staff retention. He did not have a different public persona and a private persona. He's truly a public servant. working not for his own legacy, but for the American legacy.
Yeah. So, I mean, look, I mean, these are, you're going to hear from people that know Senator Sessions. You know, the other interesting dynamic in this thing, of course, is these people, the United States senators, and some of the Democrats are going to try to be aggressive, are going to have a bit of a problem for two reasons. Number one, they have served with Jeff Sessions for a long time. Susan Collins is introducing him. She is one of the more moderate Republicans out there. And, of course, then his other senator from Alabama, Senator Shelby. But they're going to have to be very careful for two reasons. And I'm going to be very blunt about this. Number one, he has served with them with distinction and honor. And he's very well respected. Number two, they're going to be on the other end of Donald Trump tweets.
You laid it out so well, Jay. He's going to be confirmed for two reasons. The first is the memo you've been holding up. He's uniquely qualified. But the second is the point that the caller was just making and that you were reiterating. Anyone who has spent 5 minutes with Jeff Sessions knows he is as decent a human being as they come. She's exactly right about his staff points. Jay, I would put it this way. I don't think there is a member on the Senate judiciary who thinks ill of Jeff Sessions. I really don't. There will be some tomorrow when they're questioning him. It appears like they do. But there are a lot of senators that you may not like. Jeff Sessions is not one of them. Every single senator on that panel likes him personally.
Yeah, I think this is, without any question, this is a well-qualified nominee. Logan, we got time for one more question before the break?
If you want to, we can go to Willie in Nevada. You're on the air.
Hey, Willie, go ahead.
Willie, I'm a veteran of the Navy. I'm from down south. I'm a black man.
Yes, sir.
I've been following within the military for over 20 years. I'm an enforcer. I've followed Jeff Sessions all my life. I went through so much in the military back in the 70s, riots and all. Let me tell you something. Jeff Sessions is a good, honest law enforcer. You got a lot of people,
yep.
A lot of left wingers. You got a lot of people like the ACLU, Al Sharpton, and now they all jumping in it. This is all about some of the things that I'm going to mention is about immigration. That's what some of it is about.
Yep.
This man is going to enforce those borders.
You're not kidding.
I'm praying that this man would be confirmed. That's all I want to say.
Well, Willie, first, thank you for your 20 years of service in the military. And I was just looking at our memo, and I look at some of these prosecutions and the cases he handled. Jeff Sessions handled cases against counties that he thought were discriminating against African-American votes when he was the U.S. attorney in Alabama. So, look, I think you're absolutely right. I think at the end of the day, not only is he going to be confirmed, but, Jordan, more importantly, he should be confirmed.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, obviously, there's a lower bar to confirmation now. You don't have to get to that through that filibuster-proof 60 votes. You just have to get to 51. So that's not really a question. It's just, again, I think it's the Democrats, because this is still happening under President Obama's term in office. Remember, these hearings are happening before Donald Trump takes the oath and becomes president of the United States. To go to that issue to continue to divide our country. And this is one of the issues they're trying to bring back. You know, when we've seen law enforcement officials maybe make wrong decisions, prosecutions not go the way
right.
that certain activists want them to go the way, then it becomes, you know, this judgment on the entire country.
Yeah.
That is, I think people will be unbelievably surprised in a positive way if they allow Jeff Sessions to become the Attorney General
yeah.
and they see what it's like not to have these left-wing activist
yeah.
in charge.
Yeah, interesting comment on Facebook, Logan, from Dan. You see that one?
Yes, I got a comment in from Dan. He said, do they fear Sessions?
They do. The left fear Sessions because he's going to enforce the law.
Yeah.
And he's going to call terrorism what it is, terrorism. And he's going to prosecute terrorists. And he's going to handle it the way it should be. All right, we're going to be here for another 30 minutes. We'll be taking your calls. Logan will let you know what you could do.
That's right. You can join us on Facebook and Periscope, facebook.com/JaySekulow and Periscope. If you lose us here, it's a great way to do it. And you can find us at ACLJ.org as well, broadcasting live during the show and during the break. So if you don't get us live on your local station the next half hour, we will be live and monitoring the news on a breaking news item that's happening right now that we'll talk about during the break.
Okay.
This week marks a critical time for the incoming Trump administration. Hearings begin for a number of vital cabinet positions. And at the top of the list, U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions, nominated to be the Attorney General of the United States. Democrats are promising to pull out all the stops. Join us now in this battle. Senator Sessions must be confirmed as our next Attorney General. Call now 1-877-989-2255 or you can add your name online, aclj.org.
broadcast, everyone. 1-800-684-3110. Jeff Sessions' nomination is up tomorrow. We've done an extensive background on him. I've known him for 20 years. I knew him when he was a U.S. attorney. I knew him when he was the attorney general. I known him as a senator. This is a man that is well qualified. He will be confirmed. We're going to have to go through the fighting here. That's the normal. That's what you do. But this is someone that understands exactly what we're dealing with as a country. Now, do we need a strong attorney general? You bet. We've had Eric Holder and Loretta Lynch. Afraid to call terrorism, terrorism. We've had two incidents, and we've had one, of course, recently in Florida. The incident in Florida just over the weekend was not labeled terrorism by the media, even though, and the administration, although they were strong-armed coming out this time only because they had to, the fact of the matter was that the reality is that the individual that was responsible for this act had already pledged some type of allegiance to ISIS and was on the FBI's watch list, and nothing happened.
Yeah, that's right. So, you know, you've got these situations where the FBI is, you know, knows about the individual. They're flagged. They've had psychiatric trouble, which, again, and run-ins with law. I mean, so they've had criminal issues as well. And I think that speaks to former military service. We saw that with Nadal Hassan. So it's not like, again, it doesn't follow this
and
pattern.
And Nadal Hassan, of course, they called it workplace violence.
And I think this threw them off because he happened to be Hispanic heritage. But that just ISIS
so
has members from, you know,
every group.
Texas, yeah. White guys from Texas and Alabama who have joined ISIS. They transform, and I think what we saw in this individual, you know, whether it's Esteban Santiago is his name, when you see the images of what he looked like during this attack and as he was planning this attack, he became. And so I was watching. I saw on CNN they've got this picture up of him wearing a keffiyeh around his neck, his typical Islamic outfit, and then, you know, doing the ISIS point, which is the only one
explain
God.
Explain that to everybody, Jordan, because people don't know.
Yeah, so that hand signal that he's doing is not like, I'm number one. I mean, that's, and, you know, if you took that out of context of what he had done and claiming ISIS, you know, people may use that symbol, but if you go through all ISIS propaganda, and they did that, this symbol is there's only one God, you know, one unified, it's a religious statement.
Right.
And so he was going past just saying, ISIS forced me to watch videos. He also grew the beard, which, again, no mustache, but just the beard. So he was transforming into what looked like an ISIS
jihadi
fighter. I'm sure when he was apprehended in a place where the Hispanic population is the majority in a place like Fort Lauderdale, Miami, I'm not sure that they initially thought. I think that's why his ID, they thought his ID may have been stolen because I think he transformed his appearance into looking like more.
Because initially
more
they thought that wasn't really him.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, and because he didn't look like what they thought.
The whole, I think that the way the media danced around it goes to what the Obama administration has tried to do. And we're not going to have that issue under the Trump administration. It's just not going to, it's not going to be that way.
Let's get some comments in on folks, what you think, what you're looking for in the FBI, what you're looking for in the Justice Department on the terror attack. And then let me talk to you about the Israel situation. I'm saying that because, and this is to me very, very important. On the Israel attack, this happens right after the UN, right after the United Nations passed that resolution, you then have the attack. And Benjamin Netanyahu said that authorities had identified the terrorist and all signs show that he is a supporter of the Islamic State. And this was a sequence of attacks similar between France, Berlin, and Jerusalem, where they've used these bulldozers before. We want all your comments about that at 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Quickly to Than Bennett. Someone is asking, we'll save it for the break. We'll come back on that. Than, on the Jeff Sessions matters, we go to break here. You're confident he will be confirmed?
I am confident. I think it'll be a tough hearing session for him. I think he'll do very well. I would encourage people to watch, Jay, because they will see the gentleman that he is. Remember, there's an 11-9 advantage for Republicans on the committee, so I think the committee will report him out. And then he also cannot be filibustered, so I do think he'll be confirmed.
All right, we'll take more of your calls when we come back from the break. Continue your support of the ACLJ as well and support for Senator Sessions. Go to ACLJ.org. We've got a petition up. Had over 88,000 signatures on that. Actually, 89,736. It'd be great if we could be at 90,000 by the time we get back. So again, ACLJ.org. That's ACLJ.org. We'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110.
Thank you.
This week marks a critical time for the incoming Trump administration. Hearings begin for a number of vital cabinet positions. And at the top of the list, U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions, nominated to be the Attorney General of the United States. Senator Sessions is eminently and uniquely qualified for this post and will restore the rule of law and uphold the Constitution at the Department of Justice, something that is desperately needed. But here's the problem. Democrats are promising to pull out all the stops to oppose and derail this nomination. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're ready for the fight. We will support Senator Sessions and work aggressively to ensure his confirmation succeeds. Join us now in this battle. Senator Sessions must be confirmed as our next Attorney General. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
Hey, welcome back. You know, the UN passed those resolutions last week condemning Israel. And then there was a terror attack in Israel just days later where, again, as they did in Nice, as they did in Berlin, they utilized trucks to kill people. This particular time, they ran over soldiers that were on a tour. They do these cultural heritage tours as Israeli new soldiers are sworn in, so they understand the significance of what they're defending in Israel, the Jewish people, the historic sites. And this individual who had a relationship with ISIS took this action. But again, they get emboldened when the United States does not exercise its veto and the UN passes a resolution condemning Israel once again. Then today, breaking news of sorts, and Logan's got this. We've been following this while we've been on air. Logan will give you this, and I want to draw the parallel here.
Sure, yes. There's been bomb threats that have been made throughout this morning at Jewish community centers in Florida, Maryland, South Carolina, and in Tennessee. That's, I believe, in Nashville, in Miami, and I'll get those details of the others. But again, so far, a couple of them have been cleared. Nashville has not been cleared yet. They're doing sweeps. Seems to be a threat. You know, anyone could have made these threats, called in, it's been a phone threat.
But at the Jewish community centers.
All the Jewish community centers.
And then
the
media is saying they're not related.
Right. That's why I was pulling up the article that's from the Nashville news outlet from the Tennessee, and they said I believe they've pulled that specific comment. It said there was no link between the four.
Nonsense.
Threats.
But this is kind of the environment that's been created here. All right, we'll take your calls at 1-800-684-3110. Yes. We want to know what you think about the attack in Jerusalem. We want to know what you think about Jeff Sessions' nomination. Logan's got one more point.
It was that Nashville has been cleared, and this is they adjusted the quotes. Now says, as of late Monday morning, there were no known link between the threats.
Yeah, there you go.
They just happen to be.
But you know, all of it, you know, the media is still, Jordan. I mean, we saw this with the situation in Florida that happened after we were off the air. Five people are dead, 20 people are wounded. The guy pledges his allegiance to ISIS.
And our first assumption is not terrorism still.
Which we say it's
backwards. I think that's the problem, is that we should be assuming that if a mass event like this happens, that it's Islamic terror.
Right.
And then walk it back from there instead of being so afraid of everybody's sensitivities. And what does this actually become? This is maybe it's a little bit more convoluted than the other attacks we've seen, but this is Islamic terror. I mean,
and
this
was
someone
coordinated,
inspired, who planned the attack. He literally flew from Alaska with a gun in his bag. And I was hearing all these reports. Oh, he got into an altercation on the flight. And what, he just so happened to also be carrying a handgun that day. And so he was shooting random people. He didn't, you know, he didn't just target one individual. That was clear. This wasn't someone who flew down to go after, you know, one person he knew. Someone he actually was just randomly firing and killing people. And he told the FBI, even when this was running on the news, that he was felt like he was being recruited and forced to be recruited by ISIS. They were not calling this what it was, which was someone who, you know, as convoluted as it may be, was inspired by the propaganda that ISIS puts out by the Islamic State and ends up carrying out a planned and coordinated attack. They knew he knew how to get the weapon there legally with the ammunition separately, you know, separately packed, but he followed all the rules, and then he gets there, puts it together, pulls the gun out, and just starts randomly trying to and
I think this,
killing people.
I think, Than, this kind of nonsense and the administration not coming out, they came out with a stronger statement than normal, but still on the Israel one. What did they say on the they were pretty quiet on the attack in Florida. That, I think, is going to change drastically in the next 10 days. Than?
Remember, this has been standard operating procedure for this administration, both before and after attack. Remember, we're in litigation against the Department of Homeland Security for purging their training manuals to look for this type of threat. They don't want you to talk about jihad. They don't want you to talk about Islamic motivations. And then after the fact, Jay, they prosecute these kind of violent intruders as, you know, perpetrators of workplace violence or common criminals. I think at a Department of Justice under Jeff Sessions, you know what these people are going to be treated as? Terrorists. And that's the way they should be treated.
Someone, Mike Warren just asked me, Logan, on Facebook that he was pro-Second Amendment, but what about at airports? I think this is, look, I think we've got an issue here. I mean, let me tell you what the issue is. The ISIS and their people are very good at finding weaknesses within our systems. Yeah. The most vulnerable aspect of an airport is the checking in and the baggage claim.
Yeah, I mean, we all go through that every time we fly, and it's to the point where it always feels uncomfortable. Going, yeah. Why are we just allowed to?
Because in Europe, they now are requiring you don't get in.
Starting to, but remember, we saw in Istanbul the attack there. I've had experiences both ways. In India, I had, you know, it was surprising at first. I remember because I didn't have my ticket printed out yet.
Right.
Didn't think that was a big deal, and you know, was just going to pull it up on my phone because thought, you know, you go to the counter, get it printed there.
Yeah, like everywhere.
Yeah, and I couldn't. I had to wait until my wife and I had to wait until the ticket counter opened outside to print a temporary pass that showed we did have a ticket.
Right.
To then enter the airport to go up to the normal place to go to the airline.
Those are so congested, those areas, always.
They are. And listen, that creates congestion too.
Right.
But it's a little bit less congested because you know if you don't have a ticket and if you're not a taxi cab driver, you're probably not there right now.
Right.
You know, family members are not going to that point. They had a different area for that kind of pickup. And this was countries that have dealt with more of these kind of attacks. I think, listen, I don't think we'd all see it as a change in our civil liberties if we had to wait till another point to enter. In fact, I think it probably may make the airport less
vulnerable.
And feel more in control when the only people inside the airport are people flying that day. Of course, they can make special exceptions for people who need help.
Children.
And they will do that. But again, I think that it shows our vulnerability. Listen, you can... Currently, in the U.S., you can travel with the weapons this way.
Right.
Follow the laws until the very last minute, and then know that you're going to be at this in this setting that is very vulnerable, packed with people, like a shopping mall.
Yeah. So much of this is just in American culture not willing to change and want to adapt to the times. Because how many people are going to show up if those laws come into place, or those you know decisions from the airport saying, "Hey, you're not going to be allowed in security," show up and go, "What do you mean?" Because it's just been that way their entire lives. You see that from the
smallest little change.
You're going to have to adapt, and eventually you have to figure out. And everyone has a smartphone. We're able to adjust and work these things out. But the problem is dealing with a lot of culture and understanding and having to reteach people is not something that is really easy or
was also the scene. I know you guys were away, but the scenes on TV were
crazy,
continually frightening. So you
because there was
tell,
no plan,
the
it was
law
obvious.
Enforcement,
it's a tiny airport,
was not, yeah. So the 22nd, which I mean, in the U.S., that means that there's 20 other airports which are much, I mean, Miami, which is an hour away,
right. I've been to that
full
airport,
international. Fort Lauderdale is the medium, medium sized airport. And they were totally shocked. I mean, they were in shock. They had people out on the tarmac in 90-degree weather.
Yep.
They had other reports of shots being fired. We had U.S. senators, like Bill Nelson, coming out and naming the names.
Right.
Instead of the, which you don't usually see. By the way, also political moves.
Right.
You realize he comes out and immediately say, "Oh, it's Hispanic," which I was talking about our producer Will. In a sense, that goes to the bias we have against people from the Islamic world. So if you don't have a name that sounds Islamic, suddenly you can't be an ISIS terrorist. And I think that speaks to another problem we have, is that we don't understand that ISIS will recruit from anyone, anywhere.
Any ethnic origin.
Doesn't
they
matter
don't care.
If you served our armed forces. Does not matter. It, you know, if you are at what the color of your skin is, they will utilize you if you show an interest or willingness. And this person who may have had also psychological issues at stake, exactly right. Who ISIS would try to target to carry out attacks.
Fan, you point out that you ride Amtrak, and I have too, and you talk about vulnerable. I mean, I've always feel vulnerable on Amtrak.
Yeah, I mean, you carry your bags right on the train. I mean, listen, this is something that Congress has been looking at, but I would underscore just very quickly something that Jordan just said. I mean, the enemy is always going to look for the weak point, but Jay, this administration is not only not looking for those threats, they are purposefully, and I'm saying purposefully, looking the other way. They're purging their training manuals. They don't want to identify the threat. That is the key thing that has to change. There's always going to be these weak points. Of course, those need hardening. But if we aren't looking for the threat, if we aren't speaking accurately and truthfully about what that threat is, it won't be found.
All right.
Yeah, I think it goes to we have to change, and we have to give these leaders who are coming in time to change. There will still
important.
Be terror attacks.
Yep.
There will still be these incidents. I think you've got to give them time to not just implement the changes, but let those changes. They've got to filter down through an entire federal bureaucracy.
Which is not easy.
No, it's not easy. And you could see how the Obama administration spent the last 8 years kind of training the FBI and these officials on the ground, law enforcement. And look at that scene Friday. We should be ashamed of how that unfolded. I mean, law enforcement officials are brave. They obviously had
no clue, and no plan,
they're running
no
around
idea.
With assault weapons, but had no idea what they were doing. And so they weren't able to secure the facility. 22,000 bags, you know, that they're dealing with. People are dead. Obviously, people have lost their life and been killed. And it was mass chaos in Fort Lauderdale. And that can happen anyway. I mean, you see that vulnerability is everywhere from the biggest airports to the smallest.
Yep. All right, we're going to be taking your calls when we come back from the break. Logan will be taking comments in as well. Logan, let everybody know how they can respond here.
Yeah, give us a call right now, 1-800-684-3110. We got a few lines open again at 1-800-684-3110. You can also get your comments in via Facebook and Periscope. We'll get to many of those in the next segment.
We have crossed 90,580 signatures in support of Senator Sessions. That's good. Let's get it to 100,000. ACLJ.org for that. ACLJ.org. Coming up with a segment where we answer any of the questions you have. So our phone lines are open for you at 1-800-684-3110. It can be on the topics we discussed. It can be on some of the issues the country faces. Whatever you'd like. 1-800-684-3110. That's 800-684-3110. Don't forget, sign that petition for the confirmation of Senator Sessions at ACLJ.org. And again, your support of the ACLJ makes a huge difference. Easiest way to do that, ACLJ.org. Back with your calls at 1-800-684-3110 in just a moment.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. This week marks a critical time for the incoming Trump administration. Hearings begin for a number of vital cabinet positions. And at the top of the list, U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions, nominated to be the Attorney General of the United States. Senator Sessions is eminently and uniquely qualified for this post and will restore the rule of law and uphold the Constitution at the Department of Justice, something that is desperately needed. But here's the problem. Democrats are promising to pull out all the stops to oppose and derail this nomination. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're ready for the fight. We will support Senator Sessions and work aggressively to ensure his confirmation succeeds. Join us now in this battle. Senator Sessions must be confirmed as our next Attorney General. Call now 1-877-989-2255. That's 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online aclj.org.
All right, here's the hearing dates we've got coming up. January 10th, tomorrow, Jeff Sessions start. Also, retired General John Kelly for Homeland Security on January 11th. Day two of Senator Sessions' hearing. Elaine Chao for Transportation. Rex Tillerson for State. Betsy DeVos for Education. Representative our friend Mike Pompeo, Central Intelligence Agency. January 12th, retired General Mad Dog Mattis for Defense. Wilbur Ross for Commerce. And our friend Dr. Ben Carson for HUD. So, Fan, they're doing this quickly. They want that team in place. And also, and we'll get to your calls in a minute, Donald Trump, the president-elect, has called for all of the ambassadors from every single outpost to resign effective the day he is sworn in. Normally, they have this months of transition. He's not doing that on foreign policy.
No, he wants everybody back. And this is it's unusual.
Yep.
But I think it's, again, I think it's a
signal,
an acknowledgement of the difference in the policy and the whether it's foreign policy, domestic policy, the changes that need to be made go all the way from the top down to our, you know, not just the countries that are of the most concern and the most important.
But our friends too.
But unilaterally. It's just everybody's coming back. And so these diplomats, whether they are, a lot of these countries are not like people who are donors and big, you know, business folks. They are actually State Department bureaucrats who have made their way up. I think this is part of him getting rid of the bureaucracy and cutting it off at the knees.
Yep.
That's how you've got to start this, is take extreme measures. Or else it will take decades to reform this government.
So, Fan, that move by President-elect Trump, which I'm going to talk more about tomorrow, where he's asked for all the diplomats to come back, that's a big move.
Well, it is a big move, but listen, if you want to change our foreign policy 180 degrees, what's the first thing you have to do? You have to get rid of the people who are currently implementing the current strategy. So I think it's a great move. I would say quickly, the pace of hearings here, this is not unusual, Jay. You will hear this from the left, but when Barack Obama took office, there were 8 confirmations of cabinet-level appointees on the very first day, on his inauguration day. So this pace, this is not unusual. In fact, it's standard.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take some phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. Logan, who's next?
All right, let's go to Marlene in Arizona. And please give us a call, 1-800-684-3110.
Marlene, go ahead. You're on the air.
I have the question of, where are these people getting these videos and propaganda and for ISIS, and why can't they shut them down?
All right, well, this is look, the difference between Al-Qaeda and ISIS is on the technology. ISIS is very advanced on social media. They get closed down. They open up immediately. They have a department inside of ISIS. That's why they're a lot more like Hamas. They operate like an army, and they get information out, and they get their propaganda out, and they get it out on multiple venues and platforms.
Yeah, so they once it's out on through the internet, I mean, it's there. And so people can try to take it down. It pops right back up. They use websites which are tougher to access. But if you signify any interest in this online, they will find you. So they have people that their job is to find people who are expressing any interest whatsoever in the propaganda that they are putting out, and then you will be flooded. I mean, what would be interesting to know about the individual in the Fort Lauderdale attack is he may have thought it was the CIA, whatever he thought. You know, that he was obviously somewhat delusional to an extent, but it will be interesting to find out if he was being directly contacted,
right?
Because they look for the individuals
who are easy to manipulate.
But you know, the ISIS magazine ends up being public because, to some extent, you want people to know what this group is putting out. And but they are not like Al-Qaeda. They are not delivering a videotape made in a cave.
No, they've got sophisticated propaganda.
Al Jazeera.
A sophisticated propaganda vehicle. That's why in our book Rise of ISIS we said they are Hamas. They are like Hamas. They operate like Hamas, not like Al-Qaeda. There's a difference. They have a similar where they came from, but they're operating in a different way. All right, let's take some more calls at 1-800-684-3110.
Let's go to Rose in Texas. You're on the air.
Hey, Rose, go ahead. You're on.
Hey, Jay. First of all, our deepest condolences
for
your dad.
I appreciate
God
that.
God bless you.
Thank you.
And secondly, Jay, I want to personally thank you for your forging the way in restoring America.
Oh, you're very
Due
kind.
To your efforts, I believe that our prayers have been heard by God, and one of the signs is the victories for Trump, Pence, and now Sessions. But going on to the United Nations, I wanted to tell you that I'm in total agreement. However, I believe that the decision that the President of the United States made against Israel, along with the United Nations, runs parallel with this the outcome of the bombings and deaths.
I completely agree. I mean, Than, this is one of the things we were concerned about. We said that you pass resolutions like this, it emboldens Israel's enemies.
In advance of this vote, Jay, we said it would do two things. It would push peace further away diplomatically, but it would also embolden Israel's enemies to the point that they would view this type of violence as further legitimized. They already viewed it as legitimate, but Jay, I think it's very fair to now come back to this administration and say, listen, your failure to veto that resolution plays a direct role in attacks like we're seeing. And by the way, the threats that Logan was mentioning, those as well. Those people are emboldened because they view the United States position on this as legitimizing these type of attacks.
And I will say something else here, and that is Samantha Powers, all these folks at the UN, they're also being pulled back day one. So we're not going to have the number two in there. This is to clear this mess out. Draining the swamp, that's what it's doing.
Yeah, Donald Trump's been criticized that he's using people with experience and that that's not draining the swamp. When I hear draining the swamp, I think getting rid of the bureaucracy. It's not so much the politicians, the people who actually put themselves out there, who have run for office and been duly elected by the citizens of their state, whether it's their congressional district or their entire state, like in the case of U.S. senators. Those folks are in the spotlight, and they're letting you kind of see into their life, if you will. It's the bureaucrats who basically try to implement their own policy decisions. They kind of cloak themselves in this veil of secrecy. You don't necessarily know who they are. They are not people that have to run for their positions. They don't face that same kind of a public scrutiny. And that's why you have to set the tone, is that everybody's going. And I think that that's a good thing to do. And it's unique to, I think it's a Donald Trump kind of move. And it's the kind of things that people should be excited about if they want to see major changes.
All right, let's go get another call, Logan.
All right, let's go to Roger on line 3 in Oregon.
Hey, Roger, go ahead. You're on.
Jay, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
Hey, I wanted to agree with your analysis that basically everything starts at the top and filters on down to the bureaucracy. No problem there. What I wanted to say was when I was in business in manufacturing, we produced a product that basically could kill a person. And a common manufacturing tool that we used took a look at that entire process and where we needed to identify the points that were really life-threatening. And we took steps to implement resources or put in resources that would keep that from happening. But it came from the top of the company that we needed to do this. So if we didn't do it, we would have been sued. We would have been put out of business.
Well, this is exactly what when you've got first of all, this is not a transition from George W. Bush to to Donald Trump. This is 8 years of an entrenched bureaucracy that was in lockstep with the administration, and that's what you're battling.
Yeah, I mean, they were empowered by this administration because they had someone with their leftist kind of out-of-touch viewpoint make it to the White House, and basically you could not really tell the difference between bureaucrats in D.C. versus political appointees. I mean, look, Lois Lerner, these officials at the IRS, they were in lockstep with their political appointees. Republicans don't have that. Conservatives don't have that leisure. When they get into these federal agencies, they're battling those bureaucrats. And I think under Donald Trump, and they're looking at reforms now already, how to get rid of these folks who cause trouble and to shrink the size of our bureaucracy. Because I'll tell you, when conservatives come in, you can't use the bureaucrats to do anything because they will just undermine any policy move that is conservative.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for the broadcast today. We're taking, obviously, we got as many calls as we could get to. When we come back tomorrow, we'll have more updates. Obviously, the hearing will start, and we will have more information there. Again, if you want to support the work of the ACLJ, it's easy, aclj.org. And don't forget, sign that petition for Jeff Sessions as well. And again, thanks for your thoughts and your prayers. It means a lot to our entire family. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
This week marks a critical time for the incoming Trump administration. Hearings begin for a number of vital cabinet positions. And at the top of the list, U.S. Senator Jeff Sessions, nominated to be the Attorney General of the United States. Democrats are promising to pull out all the stops. Join us now in this battle. Senator Sessions must be confirmed as our next Attorney General. Call now 1-877-989-2255, or you can add your name online, aclj.org.